Blog Talk Radio.
I think that's more important in people's lives is what is the right regulation, not whether they're
good or not. You as a company welcome regulation.
I think if it's the right regulation, then
you think the Europeans have it right?
I think that they get things right.
Have you ever submitted? That's good. So would you work with us in terms of what regulations you think are necessary in your industry?
Absolutely.
Okay, would you submit to us some proposed regulations?
Yes, and I'll have my team follow up with you so that way we can have this discussion across the different categories where I think that this discussion needs to have.
Look forward to it. When you sign up for Facebook, you sign up for terms of service. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. It says, the terms govern your use of Facebook and the products, features, apps, services, technology, and software we offer, Facebook's products or products, except where we express or state the separate terms and not these apply. I'm a lawyer, I have no idea what that means. But when you look at terms of service, this is what you get. Do you think the average consumer understands what they're signing up for?
I don't think that the average person likely reads that whole document. But I think that there are different ways that we can communicate that and have a responsibility to do so.
Do you agree with me that you better come up with different ways to help this thing working?
Well, Senator, I think in certain areas that is true. And I think in other areas, like the core part of what we do, but if you think about it at the most basic level, people come to Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Messenger about 100 billion times a day to share a piece of content or a message with a specific set of people. And I think that that basic functionality, people understand because we have the controls in line every time. And given the volume of the activity and the value that people tell us that they're getting from that, I think that that control in line does seem to be working fairly well. Now, we can always do better. And there are other services are complex and there's more to it than just you go and you post a photo. So I agree that in many places we could do better. But I think for the core of the service, it actually is quite clear.
Thank you, Senator Graham. Senator Klobuchar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Zuckerberg, I think we all agree that what happened here was bad. You acknowledged it was a breach of trust. And the way I explain it to my constituents is that if someone breaks into my apartment with a crowbar and they take my stuff, it's just like if the manager gave them the keys or if they didn't have any locks on the doors, it's still a breach. It's still a break-in. And I believe we need to have laws and rules that are sophisticated as the brilliant products that you've developed here. And we just haven't done that yet. And one of the areas that I focused on is the election. And I appreciate the support that you and Facebook, and now Twitter actually, have given to the Honest Ads Act, the bill that you mentioned that I'm leading with Senator McCain and Senator Warner. And I just want to be clear, as we work to pass this law so that we have the same rules in place to disclose political ads and issue ads as we do for TV and radio, as well as disclaimers, that you're going to take early action as soon as June, I heard, before this election so that people can view these ads, including issue ads. Is that correct?
That is correct, Senator. And I just want to take a moment before I go into this in more detail to thank you for your leadership on this. This, I think, is an important area for the whole industry to move on. The two specific things that we're doing are, one is around transparency. So now you're going to be able to go and click on any advertiser, any page on Facebook and see all of the ads that they're running. So that actually brings advertising online on Facebook to an even higher standard than what you would have on TV or print media, because there's nowhere where you can see all of the TV ads that someone is running, for example, whereas you will be able to see now on Facebook whether this campaign or third party is saying different messages to different types of people. I think that's a really important element of transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other really important piece is around verifying every single advertiser who's going to be running political or issue ads.
I appreciate that. And Senator Warner and I have also called on Google and the other platforms to do the same. So memo to the rest of you. We have to get this done or we're going to have a patchwork of ads. And I hope that you'll be working with us to pass this bill. Is that right?
We will.
Okay, thank you. Now on the subject of Cambridge Analytica, were these people, the 87 million people, users, concentrated in certain states? Are you able to figure out where they're from?
I do not have that information with me. But we can follow up with your office.
Okay, because as we know, that election was close and it was only thousands of votes in certain states. You've also estimated that roughly 126 million people may have been shown content from a Facebook page associated with the Internet Research Agency. Have you determined whether any of those people were the same Facebook users whose data was shared with Cambridge Analytica? Are you able to make that determination?
Senator, we're investigating that now. We believe that it is entirely possible that there will be a connection there.
Okay, that seems like a big deal as we look back at that last election. Former Cambridge Analytica employee Christopher Wiley has said that the data that it improperly obtained, that Cambridge Analytica improperly obtained from Facebook users, could be stored in Russia. Do you agree that that's a possibility?
Sorry, are you asking if Cambridge Analytica's data could be stored in Russia?
That's what he said this weekend on a Sunday show.
Senator, I don't have any specific knowledge that would suggest that, but one of the steps that we need to take now is go do a full audit of all of Cambridge Analytica's systems to understand what they're doing, whether they still have any data, to make sure that they remove all the data. If they don't, we're going to take legal action against them to do so. That audit, we have temporarily ceded that in order to let the UK government complete their government investigation first, because, of course, the government investigation takes precedence over a company doing that. But we are committed to completing this full audit and getting to the bottom of what's going on here, so that way we can have more answers to this.
Okay, you earlier stated publicly and here that you would support some privacy rules so that everyone's playing by the same rules here. And you also said here that you should have notified customers earlier. Would you support a rule that would require you to notify your users of a breach within 72 hours?
Senator, that makes sense to me, and I think we should have our team follow up with yours to discuss the details around that more.
Thank you. I just think part of this was when people don't even know that their data has been breached, that's a huge problem, and I also think we get the solutions faster when we get that information out there. Thank you, and we look forward to passing this bill. We'd love to pass it before the election on the honest ads, and looking forward to better disclosure this election. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Klobuchar. Senator Blunt, I'm next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Zuckerberg, nice to see you. When I saw you not too long after I entered the Senate in 2011, I told you when I sent my business cards down to be printed, they came back from the Senate print shop with a message that was the first business card they'd ever printed a Facebook address on. There are days when I've regretted that, but more days when we get lots of information that we need to get. There are days when I wonder if the Facebook friends is a little misstated. That doesn't seem like I have those every single day. But, you know, the platform you've created is really important. Now, my son, Charlie, who's 13, is dedicated to Instagram, so he'd want to be sure I mentioned him while I was here with you. I haven't printed that on my card yet. I will say that, but I think we have that account as well. Lots of ways to connect people. And the information, obviously, is an important commodity, and it's what makes your business work. I get that. However, I wonder about some of the collection efforts, and maybe we can go through largely just even yes and no, and then we'll get back to more expansive discussion of this. But do you collect user data through cross-device tracking?
Senator, I believe we do link people's accounts between devices in order to make sure that their Facebook and Instagram and their other experiences can be synced between their devices.
And that would also include offline data that's tracking that's not necessarily linked to Facebook, but linked to some device they went through Facebook on. Is that right?
Senator, I want to make sure we get this right, so I want to have my team follow up with you on that afterwards.
Well, that doesn't seem that complicated to me. Now, you understand this better than I do, but maybe you can explain to me why that's complicated. Do you track devices that an individual who uses Facebook has that is connected to the device that they use for their Facebook connection, but not necessarily connected to Facebook?
I'm not sure the answer to that question.
Really?
Yes. There may be some data that is necessary to provide the service that we do, but I don't have that on sitting here today, so that's something that I would want to follow up.
Now, the FTC last year flagged cross-device tracking as one of their concerns, generally that people are tracking devices that the users of something like Facebook don't know that are being tracked. How do you disclose your collection methods? Is that all in this document that I would see and agree to before I entered into a Facebook?
Yes, Senator. So there are two ways that we do this. One is we try to be exhaustive in the legal documents around the terms of service and privacy policies. But more importantly, we try to provide inline controls so that people that are in plain English that people can understand. They can either go to settings or we can show them at the top of the app periodically, that people understand all the controls and settings they have and can configure their experience the way that they want.
So do people now give you permission to track specific devices in their contract? And if they do, is that a relatively new addition to what you do?
Senator, I'm sorry, I don't have that.
Am I able to opt out? Am I able to say it's okay for you to track what I'm saying on Facebook, but I don't want you to track what I'm texting to somebody else off Facebook on an Android?
Oh, okay. Yes, Senator. In general, Facebook is not collecting data from other apps that you use. There may be some specific things about the device that you're using that Facebook needs to understand in order to offer the service, but if you're using Google or you're using some texting app, unless you specifically opt in that you want to share the texting app information, Facebook wouldn't see that.
Has it always been that way? Or has that a recent addition to how you deal with those other ways that I might communicate?
Senator, my understanding is that is how the mobile operating systems are architected.
Do you don't have bundled permissions for how I can agree to what devices I may use that you may have contact with? Do you bundle that permission, or am I able to one individually say what I'm willing for you to watch and what I don't want you to watch? And I think we may have to take that for the record based on everybody else's time.
Thank you, Senator Blunt. Next up, Senator Durbin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Zuckerberg, would you be comfortable sharing with us the name of the hotel you stayed in last night?
No.
If you've messaged anybody this week, would you share with us the names of the people you've messaged?
Senator, no, I would probably not choose to do that publicly here.
I think that might be what this is all about. Your right to privacy, the limits of your right to privacy, and how much you give away in modern America in the name of, quote, connecting people around the world. The question, basically, of what information Facebook's collecting, who they're sending it to, and whether they ever asked me in advance my permission to do that. Is that a fair thing for a user of Facebook to expect?
Yes, Senator. I think everyone should have control over how their information is used. And as we've talked about in some of the other questions, I think that is laid out in some of the documents. But more importantly, you want to give people control in the product itself. So the most important way that this happens across our services is that every day people come
as we reach the 4 o'clock hour in the East, you're watching NBC News live coverage of Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's Senate testimony. Some of you will now be returning to regular programming. For the rest of you, our coverage continues.
The Facebook pages who their friends are, but they may not know, as has happened, and you've conceded this point in the past, that sometimes that information is going way beyond their friends, and sometimes people have made money off of sharing that information. Correct.
Senator, you're referring, I think, to our developer platform, and it may be useful for me to give some background on how we set that up, if that's useful.
I have 3 minutes left, so maybe you can do that for the record, because I have a couple of the questions I'd like to ask. You have recently announced something that is called Messenger Kids. Facebook created an app allowing kids between the ages of 6 and 12 to send video and text messages through Facebook as an extension of their parents' account. You have cartoon-like stickers and other features designed to appeal to little kids, first graders, kindergartners. On January 30th, the Campaign for Commercial Free Childhood and lots of other child development organizations warned Facebook. They pointed to a wealth of research demonstrating that excessive use of digital devices and social media is harmful to kids, and argued that young children simply are not ready to handle social media accounts at age 6. In addition, there are concerns about data that's being gathered about these kids. Now, there are certain limits in the law, we know, that's the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. What guarantees can you give us that no data from Messenger Kids is or will be collected or shared with those that might violate that law?
All right, Senator, so a number of things I think are important here. The background on Messenger Kids is we heard feedback from thousands of they want to be able to stay in touch with their kids and call them, use apps like FaceTime when they're working late or not around and want to communicate with their kids, but they want to have complete control over that. So I think we can all agree that if you're, when your kid is 6 or 7, even if they have access to a phone, you want to be able to control everyone who they can contact. And there wasn't an app out there that did that. So we built this service to do that. The app collects a minimum amount of information that is necessary to operate the service. So for example, the messages that people send is something that we collect in order to operate the service. But in general, that data is not going to be shared with third parties. It is not connected to the broader Facebook experience.
Excuse me. As a lawyer, I picked up on that word in general, the phrase in general. It seems to suggest that in some circumstances it will be shared with third parties.
No, it will not.
All right. Would you be open to the idea that someone having reached adult age, having grown up with Messenger Kids, should be allowed to delete the data that you've collected?
Senator, yes. As a matter of fact, when you become 13, which is our legal limit, our limiter, we don't allow people under the age of 13 to use Facebook, you don't automatically go from having a Messenger Kids account to a Facebook account. You have to start over and get a Facebook account. So I think it's a good idea to consider making sure that all that information is deleted, and in general, people are going to be starting over when they get their Facebook or other accounts.
I'll close because I just have a few seconds. Illinois has a Biometric Information Privacy Act, our state does, to regulate the commercial use of facial, voice, finger, and iris scans and the like. We're now in a fulsome debate on that, and I'm afraid Facebook has come down in a position trying to carve out exceptions to that. I hope you'll fill me in on how that is consistent with protecting privacy. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Durbin. Senator Cornyn.
Thank you, Mr. Zuckerberg, for being here. I know up until 2014, the mantra or motto of Facebook was move fast and break things. Is that correct?
I don't know when we changed it, but the mantra is currently move fast with stable infrastructure, which is a much less sexy mantra.
Sounds much more boring, but my question is, during the time it was Facebook's mantra or motto to move fast and break things, do you think some of the misjudgments, perhaps mistakes that you've admitted to here were as a result of that culture or that attitude, particularly as regards to personal privacy of information of your subscribers?
Senator, I do think that we made mistakes because of that, but the broadest mistakes that we made here are not taking a broad enough view of our responsibility. And that wasn't a matter – the move fast cultural value is more tactical around whether engineers can ship things and different ways that we operate. But I think the big mistake that we've made looking back on this is viewing our responsibility as just building tools rather than viewing our whole responsibility as making sure that those tools are used for good.
Well, and I appreciate that because previously or early in the past, we've been told that platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the like are neutral platforms, and the people who own and run those for profit, and I'm not criticizing doing something for profit in this country, but they bore no responsibility for the content. You agree now that Facebook and other social media platforms are not neutral platforms, but bear some responsibility for the content.
I agree that we're responsible for the content. And I think that there's one of the big societal questions that I think we're going to need to answer is the current framework that we have is based on this reactive model that assumes that there weren't AI tools that could proactively tell whether something was terrorist content or something bad. So it naturally relied on requiring people to flag for a company and then the company needing to take reasonable action. In the future, we're going to have tools that are going to be able to identify more types of bad content. And I think that there are moral and legal obligation questions that I think we'll have to wrestle with as a society about when we want to require companies to take action proactively on certain of those things when that gets in the way of...
I appreciate that. I have 2 minutes left.
All right.
To ask you questions. So you interestingly, the terms of the terms of service is a legal document which discloses to your subscribers how their information is going to be used, how Facebook is going to operate. And but you concede that you doubt everybody reads or understands that legalese, those terms of service. So is that to suggest that the consent that people give subject to that terms of service is not informed consent? In other words, they may not read it, and even if they read it, they may not understand it?
I just think we have a broader responsibility than what the law requires.
I appreciate that. What I'm asking about in terms of what your subscribers understand in terms of how their data is going to be used. But let me go to the terms of service. Under paragraph number 2, you say you own all of the content and information you post on Facebook. That's what you told us here today a number of times. So if I choose to terminate my Facebook account, can I bar Facebook or any third parties from using the data that I had previously supplied for any purpose whatsoever?
Yes, Senator. If you delete your account, we should get rid of all of your information.
You should, or
we do.
Do you?
We do.
How about third parties that you have contracted with to use some of that underlying information, perhaps to target advertising for themselves? You can't. Do you claw back that information as well, or does that remain in their custody?
Well, Senator, this is actually a very important question, and I'm glad you brought this up, because there's a very common misperception about Facebook that we sell data to advertisers. And we do not sell data to advertisers.
Well, you clearly rent it.
What we allow is for advertisers to tell us who they want to reach, and then we do the placement. So if an advertiser comes to us and says, all right, I'm a ski shop and I want to sell skis to women, then we might have some sense because people shared skiing-related content or said they were interested in that. They shared whether they're a woman. And then we can show the ads to the right people without that data ever changing hands and going to the advertiser. So that's a very fundamental part of how our model works and something that is often misunderstood. So I appreciate that you brought that up.
Thank you, Senator Cornyn. We had indicated earlier on that we would take a couple of breaks, give our witness an opportunity. And I think we've been going now for just under 2 hours. So I think we'll do...
We can do a few more.
Zuckerberg, are you... You want to keep going?
Maybe 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. We'll keep going. Senator Blumenthal is up next, and we will commence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here today, Mr. Zuckerberg. You have told us today, and you've told the world, that Facebook was deceived by Alexander Kogan when he sold user information to Cambridge Analytica, correct?
Yes.
I want to show you the terms of service that Alexander Kogan provided to Facebook. And note for you that, in fact, Facebook was on notice that he could sell that user information. Have you seen these terms of service before?
I have not.
Who in Facebook was responsible for seeing those terms of service that put you on notice that that information could be sold?
Senator, our app review team would be responsible for that.
Has anyone been fired on that app review team?
Senator, not because of this.
Doesn't that term of service conflict with the FTC order that Facebook was under at that very time that this term of service was, in fact, provided to Facebook? And you'll note that the FTC order specifically requires Facebook to protect privacy. Isn't there a conflict there?
Senator, it certainly appears that we should have been aware that this app developer submitted a term that was in conflict with the rules of the platform.
Well, what happened here was, in effect, willful blindness. It was heedless and reckless, which, in fact, amounted to a violation of the FTC consent decree. Would you agree?
No, Senator. My understanding is that is not that this is a violation of the consent decree, but as I've said a number of times today, I think we need to take a broader view of our responsibility around privacy than just what is mandated in the current law.
Now, here is my reservation, Mr. Zuckerberg, and I apologize for interrupting you, but my time is limited. We've seen the apology tours before. You have refused to acknowledge even an ethical obligation to have reported this violation of the FTC consent decree. And we have letters, we've had contacts with Facebook employees, and I'm going to submit a letter for the record from Sandy Parakilis, with your permission, that indicates not only a lack of resources, but lack of attention to privacy. And so my reservation about your testimony today is that I don't see how you can change your business model unless there are specific rules of the road. Your business model is to monetize user information, to maximize profit over privacy. And unless there are specific rules and requirements enforced by an outside agency, I have no assurance that these kinds of vague commitments are going to produce action. So I want to ask you a couple of very specific questions, and they are based on legislation that I've offered, the My Data Act, legislation that Senator Markey is introducing today, the Consent Act, which I'm joining. Don't you agree that companies ought to be required to provide users with clear, plain information about how their data will be used and specific ability to consent to the use of that information?
I do generally agree with what you're saying. And I laid that out earlier when I talked about what
would you agree to an opt-in as opposed to an opt-out?
Senator, I think that certainly makes sense to discuss, and I think the details around this matter a lot.
Would you agree that users should be able to access all of their information?
Senator, yes, of course.
All the information that you collect as a result of purchases from data brokers, as well as tracking them?
Senator, we have already a download your information tool that allows people to see and to take out all of the information that Facebook, that they've put into Facebook or that Facebook knows about them. So yes, I agree with that. We already have that.
I have a number of other specific requests that you agree to support as part of legislation. I think legislation is necessary. The rules of the road have to be the result of congressional action. We have, Facebook has participated recently in the fight against the scourge of sex trafficking, and the bill that we've just passed, it will be signed into law tomorrow, SESTA, the Stop Exploiting Sex Trafficking Act, was the result of our cooperation. I hope that we can cooperate on this kind of measure as well.
Senator, I look forward to having my team work with you on this.
Thank you.
Senator Blumenthal, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Zuckerberg, welcome. Thank you for being here. Mr. Zuckerberg, does Facebook consider itself a neutral public forum?
Senator, we consider ourselves to be a platform for all ideas.
Let me ask the question again. Does Facebook consider itself to be a neutral public forum? And representatives of your company have given conflicting answers on this. Are you a First Amendment speaker expressing your views, or are you a neutral public forum allowing everyone to speak?
Senator, here's how we think about this. I don't believe that there is certain content that clearly we do not allow, right? Hate speech, terrorist content, nudity, anything that makes people feel unsafe in the community. From that perspective, that's why we generally try to refer to what we do as a platform for all ideas.
Just because the time is constrained, it's just a simple question. The predicate for Section 230 immunity under the CDA is that you are a neutral public forum. Do you consider yourself a neutral public forum, or are you engaged in political speech, which is your right under the First Amendment?
Well, Senator, our goal is certainly not to engage in political speech. I'm not that familiar with the specific legal language of the law that you speak to, so I would need to follow up with you on that. I'm just trying to lay out how broadly I think about this.
Well, Mr. Zuckerberg, I will say there are a great many Americans who I think are deeply concerned that Facebook and other tech companies are engaged in a pervasive pattern of bias and political censorship. There have been numerous instances with Facebook. In May of 2016, Gizmodo reported that Facebook had purposely and routinely suppressed conservative stories from trending news, including stories about CPAC, including stories about Mitt Romney, including stories about the Lois Lerner IRS scandal, including stories about Glenn Beck. In addition to that, Facebook has initially shut down the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day page, has blocked the posts of a Fox News reporter, has blocked over two dozen Catholic pages, and most recently blocked Trump supporters Diamond and Silk's page with 1.2 million Facebook followers after determining their content and brand were, quote, unsafe to the community. To a great many Americans, that appears to be a pervasive pattern of political bias. Do you agree with that assessment?
Senator, let me say a few things about this. First, I understand where that concern is coming from because Facebook and the tech industry are located in Silicon Valley, which is an extremely left-leaning place. And this is actually a concern that I have and that I try to root out as a company, is making sure that we don't have any bias in the work that we do. And I think it is a fair concern that that people
let me ask this question. Are you aware of any ad or page that has been taken down from Planned Parenthood?
Senator, I'm not, but let me just –
How about MoveOn.org?
Sorry?
How about MoveOn.org?
I'm not specifically aware of those.
How about any Democratic candidate for office?
I'm not specifically aware. I mean, I'm not sure.
In your testimony, you say that you have 15 to 20,000 people working on security and content review. Do you know the political orientation of those 15 to 20,000 people engaged in content review?
No, Senator. We do not generally ask people about their political orientation when they're joining the company.
So as CEO, have you ever made hiring or firing decisions based on political positions or what candidates they supported?
No.
Why was Palmer Luckey fired?
That is a specific personnel matter that seems like it would be inappropriate.
You just made a specific representation that you didn't make decisions based on political views.
Well, I can commit that it was not because of a political view.
Do you know of those 15 to 20,000 people engaged in content review, how many, if any, have ever supported financially a Republican candidate for office?
Senator, I do not know that.
Your testimony says it is not enough that we just connect people. We have to make sure those connections are positive. It says we have to make sure people aren't using their voice to hurt people or spread misinformation. We have a responsibility not just to build tools, to make sure those tools are used for good. Mr. Zuckerberg, do you feel it's your responsibility to assess users whether they are good and positive connections or ones that those 15 to 20,000 people deem unacceptable or deplorable?
Senator, you're asking me personally?
Facebook.
Senator, I think that there are a number of things that we would all agree are clearly bad. Foreign interference in our elections, terrorism, self-harm.
Censorship.
Well, I think that you would probably agree that we should remove terrorist propaganda from the service. So that, I agree, I think is clearly bad activity that we want to get down, and we're generally proud of how well we do with that. Now, what I can say, and I do want to get this in before the end here, is that I'm very committed to making sure that Facebook is a platform for all ideas. That is a very important founding principle of what we do. We're proud of the discourse and the different ideas that people can share on the service. And that is something that, as long as I'm running the company, I'm going to be committed to making sure is the case.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Cruz. You want to break now? Or you want to keep going?
Sure. I mean, that was pretty good. So, all right.
All right, we have Senator Whitehouse is up next, but if you want to take a 5-minute break right now, we have now been going a good 2 hours. So
thank you.
We'll recess for 5 minutes and reconvene.
We've been watching the testimony of Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, taking a grilling from senators, and there was plenty more to come here. This is
to get in touch with me or for me to tell what I'm doing. I've never been that way. I try to move in silence, man. And I don't need everybody in my business.
You know, I don't use it like that. I don't post every time I go to the restroom or when I get a call or if I talk to GRX if I'm feeling good or happy. But it has done one or two things. And I will back up and say this. when this stuff first started, I got on first. One of the first people that contacted me on Facebook was one of my best friends before I even knew GRX, who is now an FBI agent. He found me through the Facebook app and the computer.
Well,
and
I mean...
And physical surveillance, because he's still friends with our mutual friend who works for the city of Los Angeles. So when I showed my black butt up here in 2001 and eventually got the Facebook account, I remember I was already at Trade Tech, it was about 2004-05, I get a mysterious message from my friend that I knew his name, and then he confirmed and I confirmed, and then I realized, DRX, that social media is the best platform for investigators, law enforcement, or just full creeps.
Yeah, because people put their whole life out there. And so if I want to find out anything or find out what's bothering you or hurting you or what could hurt you, I would do it through Facebook, through social media. I won't say Facebook, but I'm just going to say social media, period, because there's other avenues in that.
Or what you're hiding. Or what you're into. So if you claiming to be Joe heterosexual and you visiting bigpenis.com site.
Yeah, something wrong there.
It may or may not be. It may or may not be something wrong with you, but somebody may look at you and assume that the reason you're visiting is for the obvious sexual reason as opposed to these gay dudes are involved in crime, and I'm visiting the site to track everyone I see. Because I just don't see a big penis. I see your face.
Right. I see the remarks you leave.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, most of the times when you get caught up by the police, you tell on yourself. So
I see the remarks you leave. Look, we just had yesterday. This is crazy, brother. They raided the president's hotel and his lawyer.
Exactly.
Now, if it was me and you, it would be different. We would actually, on one level, well, shit. Well, we do dirty. We, you know, we Christian dirty. So, in the name of Jesus, I got one foot with the devil. So, I mean, that would be one thing if you're black and, you know, you caught up in this, that, or that. Or was, and you've been waiting and waiting and waiting, but it's just that shoe to drop. But this is just president. And then for him to have the audacity to then say that this is an attack on your democracy because he has legal problems?
Yes, he does.
But this is the type of crap you glean out of Facebook, social media, and just running your mouth in front of the media camera.
Yeah, I mean, well, at the end of the day, and then you're dealing with the fake Facebook post and things like that, because I think just recently they tracked the Black Lives Matter all the way to Australia.
Well, I put that up today. Maybe did your wife tell you that I posted that?
I got my phone back up and running today, and so I was going back over the stuff that I was missing.
Hold on for a sec. Yeah. And the point, ladies and gentlemen, is the premier page on the Black Lives Matter that's asking for funding wasn't even ran or controlled by Black Lives Matter. And whatever funding that this page took up on their main website, that money went to some white dude in Australia who was pimping the system. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know, do you really want to buy a suit off the web without going to the tailor or do you really want to buy a suit off the web and not go to the tailor and see the suit? I mean, we've gotten to a point where, you know, I remember when I was going to buy some shoes online. I'm like, nah, bro, you know that's a dumb move. Maybe a jacket, maybe a T-shirt or a hat. Shoes, I'm funny style. That I have to actually try them on. And so I didn't buy the shoes. So, again, social media has allowed us to do exactly what Black Lives Platform has done, deceive you, allow other folks to get in and control it and pimp you for your dollars. That actual account or that page, the main page, was to Australia, and all the money you donated didn't go to Black Lives Matter, but went to some white guy in Australia.
Went to his organizations, not just one. It went to several organizations that he was a part of. So basically, everybody that was kicking in cash for Black Lives Matter was funding his agenda in Australia.
I expect the criminal to do criminal things. Those that are non-criminal and well-intended citizens using the platform to be due diligent in researching what the hell they're doing with their information. So the whole thing, it goes all, we're all the way back now, GRX, to 2015, when you are a prominent member on the show, and we were setting all this stuff up before we got into 2016, the actual election. And then when we got into 2016, if you recall, I said all of this, Facebook, something is wrong with social media. I said Black Lives Matter, whatever is causing some obvious issues, I don't get it. It's something wrong. Further, I also said that if it's Black Lives Matter, why was it principally ran by white people?
Right. We saw the okey-doke up front, but a lot of people didn't because they was behind the protest movement. And so when you caught up in the protest movement and you're not sure what you're protesting or who you're protesting with, get you caught up like with this Black Lives Matter. So that's the problem. That's the problem that they ran into.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you might be the best guy to give me some advice. I have two Facebook accounts, two active Twitter accounts. I may have seven different Twitter accounts for various reasons.
Right.
But at the core of me, you know this. You didn't know it growing up because I wasn't so far into it. But now, you know, I'm pretty much a law enforcement investigative type of guy, right?
Right.
That's why I don't just do a show. I get a press pass. That's why I get emails and I'm a member of certain government councils set up under Bush and Obama so that I have access to info. I have seen people act as if putting all their info and personal matter out, and even, you know, ATM cards or whatever, going there and it's not even covering their PIN number as they enter, as if their privacy does not matter to them.
Well, it does, but they don't know how to be private. You see what I'm saying? If you ask somebody about those things, they don't know how to be private. First off, that's the, one of the main problems about dealing with Facebook or social media in any way. You could join social media and be a part of it, but if you don't know how to be private, then you get caught up.
So if you're not a stable individual and know how to deal with your people, your man, your girl, your woman, baby mama, your family, whatever, and you err on the side of complaining and explaining and you're not settled in your own maturity, then you're probably apt to talk too much, give too much information, TMI, too much information in any setting, whether it be a conversation between two people or a letter written, certainly once you've been prodded, because Facebook is like being in a class full of your peers and everybody wanting you to act out.
Yeah, she took it off of Cammie's side.
And everybody's wanting you to act out because that's what your peers want you to do. But that's not your normal tone. And so you got to post your business because your homegirl posted her business. Your homeboy posted his business. And this is how you end up with the Chris Brown effect. You tell somebody you're moving out of town, you're going out away, then they hit your house. That kind of shit. So
yeah. Well, that's the gist of, like I said, if you don't know how to be private. So in any situation, whether social media or not, even amongst your friends. You need to know how to be private if you want certain things to happen for you. So if you get on social media and, oh, I'm going to Hawaii for 6 months, woo, woo, or whatever, or you leave a small message, hey, so-and-so, I'm going to be out of town, come by, check on the dog. Well, that just invited everybody that's on your page, all your followers, to be in your house. You see what I'm saying? So if you don't know how to be private, situation under control, then you get caught up in the situation that you're in. You know, and that's everybody knowing your business. Everybody.
I just thought of some basics, which is you can't trust no one. You can never assume that others have the same goodwill that you may have just by sharing. Well, my daughter's birthday, she turned 6 on this day, boo, 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 boo. Somebody could use that information, find out what school she's in. I mean, just
all of that.
Simple statement like that.
And marketing. Oh, she's a 6th grader. She just turned 6 years old. Whatever the case may be, now I know how to market to you. Now I can get you more all of the nonsense that Facebook brings up. Now you got commercials and coming your way.
If I had $1 million little hookup shoe company, because you're my homie, I'll give you the GRX model. You'll get the football shoes and the track shoes. I'm all basketball. Okay? And then I got a hood tennis shoe. Okay? So now we know your daughter's turning 6. I'm going to send her a free pair of tennis shoes.
Exactly. She going to rep my brand before anybody else.
What they call them, fashionistas or influencers. But
right.
Then after that, I'm double charging her, and she paying for everything, and I may be sending her a free T-shirt and that from time to time with these coupons and that gift card, but overwhelmingly, I'm getting old. Now, you time that by 200,000 or 300,000 people, or 200,000 or 300,000 young men or women or old men or women. Not, you don't have to be young to be an influencer. You can be old as hell and influencing folks from that generation or top down. The notion that all young folk only want knowledge from young folk is foolish, as well as the assumption that whatever a millennial or a younger person than us is doing may be a better construct than what we have been through or what we know is equally foolish. Social media brings you into straight warriorship with all of those viewpoints. Talk on.
Like we were saying, man. I mean, if you don't understand what social media could do for you, or do against you, you shouldn't be on it. I'm just gonna put it like that out there in the first place. People out here making Facebook pages for their young children, or they get on here on these blogs and they talking about the stuff they're blogging for their children's and all of this old stuff like that. You setting yourself up for failure. Again, at
these
some
young
point,
brothers out here posting their crimes, posting their pimping, posting their problems, their drama, and going to prison.
Look, here's a true story on this one. I have a friend I used to work with, right? His son is, boosting shit. He gets on Facebook, right? Oh, he didn't say he hit a lick, but he hit a lick, had all these tennis shoes, all these Jordans, and now, I'm selling Jordans. So, okay, one and one is two, you know?
Hold up. Let's back up. Back up, bro. He hit a lick. For those of you in Belarus that don't know what a lick is, he robbed somebody. He came up. He saw something. He got over on it. He saw it on the side. He knew when the shipment came. He got this. He intercepted whatever. He stole it. He broke in the window. He hit a lick. The second thing, after he hit the lick, particularly of the highest, most expensive tennis shoes that ever known to humans, Francis Jordan. Then he publicly stated it, which gave anyone in law enforcement a simple search tool to put in the browser of anything, or just Google. You don't even have to do Facebook.
Right, Google it.
You could just Google Jordans for sale.
Jordans for sale. Exactly. And he got twisted up just like that because the lick that he hit or the robbery that he did was a major shipment, and they intercepted that shipment, and now they got all these tennis shoes, so they selling the latest Jordans, but he ain't selling them fast as he was going to sell them in the hood. So what he do? He get on Facebook because he got followers. He got
now,
likes
why can't
on there.
You sell them in the hood? Because every lick you hit, you get an actual repression from the folks that you think you're going to sell it to. So if I go and Jack Moon for gold chains, I'm not going to be able to get off of them at the highest low-end retail price, let alone just the cool, comfortable price. It's not going to happen. If I jack folks or if I rob, I mean, even when we came up as kids, they used to park semi-trailers, refrigerated semi-trailers full of steaks and chickens and turkeys right up on the major street, two blocks from my house. The homies would hit a lick and walk down the street selling steaks. Everybody come out their house, buy them damn steaks, because we saw the truck and we saw the back of the truck open, so we know they didn't hit the lick.
Right, we know what happened.
But they're not getting the $35 for a tri-tip that's 15 pounds. They're not getting that. They're trying to get off this stuff. Furthermore, it's thawing out. They got a few limited hours, $5. It may be 2,000 different individual packages of meat. So $5 times 2,000 each is what?
Got my ticket.
That was a good lick.
That was a good lick.
Drop below the market price? Yeah. But that's not what's going on when you go to social media and say, hey, we just hit this truck that was coming from Bond, Rouse, and Superior Market. Huh.
Like I said, they tell on themselves. I mean, if you have the right to remain silent, why don't you do that? But no, you get on social media and you tell them, you give details.
This is how ridiculous the game has got. You know, I consider you a real G, whether you consider me one or not. But that's just how I roll with, because I've known you a long time. I ain't even give a damn whether or not you consider my credentials or not. However, I already know something about not just the streets here in L.A. I know something about them all the way up to Sacramento. Okay? And so, at the end of the day, a real G gonna have to realize that, bro, we expect you to follow a G code. You keep your damn mouth shut because your little crime might intercept the fact that while I didn't buy the stuff from you, I sold it, I let you sell it to my homie.
Exactly.
Right.
I gave you that pass to come in the neighborhood.
I didn't buy the Gucci purses, but somehow my mama ended up with one, and she's very happy.
Exactly. But like I said, at the end of the day, we tell on ourselves in that situation. So these dudes, like you said, now they don't care. They, you know, they Snapchatting and doing all this other old crazy stuff. And we just saying Facebook for the term of Facebook, but social media in period. They get out there and they tell on themselves, and then they wonder how they get caught up.
Now, let me ask you the question that I said you was going to be the most important person in my life.
Go that way.
Okay. Here's the question, GRX.
Right.
Should I cancel my Facebook? I'm just going to deal with Facebook because they the ones that got popped. I may end up having to get rid of all this crap. I already canceled it once and then went back to it again.
Well, put it like this. I don't think that you have to cancel it as much as you have to be careful about the information that you put in it. And because we're doing these shows and people are attaching the show with the Facebook media, I would say not. But if it was
not cancel it.
But look,
let's be honest. I don't really feel as if I get a lot of support from either of my Facebook. I have a Facebook account dedicated totally to Black Noise, the Marty Smith Show, and Black Noise Radio. Then I have one that from all my college relationships through high school. However, I've never really felt as if I get any support from them people on my show. I have a few friends that show up and listen or even call in, DJ Styles for one. However, I don't get 1,000 likes because I posted to Facebook. I don't get people trying to advertise their own programs and products. I get the opposite, which is look and listen maybe secretly to what you say or post and then give you a negative reaction to it on the street. I think that's really where it is.
Well, I mean, put it like this. You're going to get some kind of reaction one way or the other. And if you're using Facebook, like I said, Facebook is the means for people to get to your business or to your media that you're posting out there. Again, like I said, for your situation, because it's tied in with your shows mostly, I would keep it. Like if I had a business, say I was selling tennis shoes, yeah, I'd be on Facebook. Whether I got likes or dislikes, that's irrelevant because every time somebody go to my page or hits my page, that's the potential for me to make money or that's the potential for me to take the next step up in the shoe game. So in that terms of business, no. But in just social interaction, yes. And like I said, all my friends – know how to get in touch with me. Even in the hood, they know how to get in touch with me if something was to go down. They got my personal number. They got my personal house number because there's only a select few that I call my friends. There's enough to have those. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, business-wise, yes. Personally, no. Because if I need you to know that something's going wrong with me, I'm picking up the phone. Hey, Marty, guess what? Whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. Or I'm sending you a text saying, hey, man, just for instance, when you had text me when me and my wife was out celebrating our anniversary, oh, hit you back real quick. Whoop-whoop-whoop. I'm out till Friday. You see what I'm saying?
I actually appreciated that because that let me know I hadn't heard from you in a couple of minutes, or you hadn't heard from me either. Go both ways, but I actually appreciated the fact that you let me know that you was out. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this brother gets way more out than I ever have in my life. Okay, I'm mad at him for that. He go out. All right, he go to Laker games. He go out. If I go see a Black Panther film, that means that's a 1 in a 5 year thing. I told you, GRX, well, last year I hadn't been on a date since 2007. So last year I went on a date.
I mean, like I said, social media to me is like a toy, a game. But if in marketing, yeah, it's the greatest tool since because I can get to millions. You know what I'm saying? More than I could just by hanging out in my area. So, yeah, for business-wise, Facebook is great. For personal reasons, nah. I mean, okay, I'll post a picture of me after the fact that I was in Vegas or after the fact that I was in Catalina or after the fact that I was in Hawaii, but you won't know when I'm there. Again, my personal cronies, they will. They'll know that, oh, hey, I'll call and say, hey, Monk, I'm about to slide out to Vegas for about 2 or 3 days. Hey, man, I'll hit you back when I get back. You know what I'm saying?
As you know, I go through that all the time. I used to jump in and out of Vegas. And when I was in working on my doctorate and my master's like 5 years ago, 5, 6 years ago, man, I had to get them breaks because you stuck in terms of classroom assignments and writing and thinking and writing and researching. And so, yeah, I take a break, and then I never would post that I'm out there. I'll only post when I'm on my way back
Right. I'm on my way back, or I've been there and came back already.
Or been there and came back, because that just seemed like common sense to me. I think I lost somebody early on. I might have done that, but right now, we still got you, GRX?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay. I heard a phone drop or something. That I just got texted by another company. But at the end of the day, social media is like free alcohol. It will bring out the devil in the best people.
Right. It will. It will. And it also brings down the value in a lot of situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, we make a joke of it, and I make a joke of it even with my wife. I said the price of pussy is dropped. It ain't expensive no more.
Hey,
all I gotta have is a few likes.
Stop it. The price of pussy is dropped.
Yes, bro.
The price of love, the price of dope, the price of happiness is dropped.
Social media. Because now it's not based on what it used to be based on. The criteria what we used to base on are not there no more. I mean, you can go get a hot chick if you got 1,000, 1,000,000 likes. Oh, okay, well, he must be popping. He must be that guy. I want to be with him. I want to give it to him.
My brother, what did Snoop say? And this is in terms of what y'all posting on your Facebook and your Twitters and all your Snapchats and whatever the fuck it is, Instagram, LinkedIn. The game is to be sold, not told. I used to struggle with that because I like to inform and uplift people and bring them into the game level of game and help them. The game is a maturation and a step pyramid. If you want to get to the top of the game, you need to step up your game at
right.
that level. However, the game actually is to be sold, not told. If you're on Facebook telling your game, you may not be making any financial profit. You're just getting light. You're getting pimped.
Well, that's what it's based on now. You know, if you watch one of these talk shows and you see these chicks and dudes out here having problems, every time they talk about it, it has to do around Facebook. It has to do around Instagram. It has to do around whatever social media problems there are, but it generally is around this social media stuff. Dudes are posting their pictures. Chicks are responding. Dudes are responding to chicks. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So the price or the value of what we used to hold dear isn't expensive anymore. Because I could get on there and get 10,000 likes. I know in them 10,000 likes, I could at least strike two or three if I chose to.
Let me ask you a difficult question, and we're just going to go back to our last single cell, not our current married cell, but our last single cell. And that would be in 2000-something, I think, with you and I. We'd probably sing at the same point at some point
right.
in 2000. Would you ever date from offline, online?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't
no.
either.
I wouldn't
either. No,
I'm not.
Like,
I mean, I like
might,
to see. I like to see the product up front.
I might be on bigbootiesandvaginas.com. I may be there, but I'm not going to date them.
Right. Right. I need to see it in person first off, because what you posted this glamour pic, and it's all dashed up and beautified, but then when I really get to see you, you looking like the bottom of my shoe. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. I don't trust the like system.
Yeah,
at the end of the
I
day.
Mean, these are not your friends.
Right. And you
followers are not friends. Ask
but
Jesus.
That's
you can ask but, Jesus about that.
But that's the problem. People associating the followers as friends.
Jesus
and
figured
so,
that part out at the last on the cross. Y'all, you ain't my homie, Judas. You's a bastard.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, man, we got to be careful about what we post, how we post it, and understanding that the value gain in the social media realm isn't the same as it is in person. And so when you get in person with these people, now you're caught into some mixed shit. You know, they just got rid of, I think, what is it called, Craigslist and Backpage?
The Backpage. No, they didn't get rid of Craigslist. It was the Backpage. The Backpage is that it was on the back of the LA Weekly. That if you needed a massage, or if you needed to get a lap dance, or if you needed to meet Josephine, fully functional.
Mm-hmm.
Not Josephine, fully functional. He was on the back page and could do full tantric massages. However, they associated in the law change under Obama, actually, that all of that added to increased sex trafficking. The problem, all intimacy work now is sex trafficking because it was on the back page.
Exactly.
Now, if your girl, your wife that did this massages and advertise on the back page, she's not sex trafficking. Remember, I used to joke all the time, GRX, about the Christian lap dance. Everyone
right.
My joke. I used it 2 months ago on a young lady I met. She said something provocative to me. I said, nah, you'd have to settle for the Christian lap dance first. And she just fell out of lap. She said, Christian lap? She said, you're stupid. I'm like, I know I'm stupid, but that's a reality. So at the end of the day, if you can't sanctify your devilment, if you can't put some type of cloth on your devilment, all you get is, you know, they can change the name from Facebook to Bare Ass Book. Because your bare ass is out.
like I said, we call it social media, but at the end of the day, it ends up to being
social
dysfunction.
Social deceit. That's what it really is.
Fake news.
Fake news and social deceit. But we're going to leave it there, although I started this show late. But this is important. This is important because, I mean, I just walked into the Facebook trial. I had something else on my mind. And then finally getting to you. But I think Snoop Dogg going to end this, and he's going to say it well. And this is what we had prior to Facebook. You know, we used to pick up the phone.
We call this old bitch. This bitch.
But now you got to put all this on Facebook. I get 1,000 likes because it's tonight.
Hello.
What's up?
Nothing. What you doing?
Man, just kicking it.
Are y'all done?
Nah, what you going to do today?
Teach you ain't waking up.
I ain't going to get my nails done.
Yeah.
Why, what's up?
Hey, did what's your name get at you yesterday?
Who?
These nuts.
Aw, shut up, nigga.
But I want to ask you one question. If I had some nuts hanging on the walls.
I'm going to ask y'all one question once more. If I had some nuts hanging on my Facebook, what would they be? How many likes am I going to get for them nuts? How many likes? Did y'all even realize that this might not be my nuts? This might be DRX nuts. We might have exchanged nuts.
But you still get these nuts?
Yes. You get them every time.
Every time.
Every time. So you need to deal in reality, don't you?
Every day we need to.
Social media moves you away from the hard reality to the fantasy that you really
Hey, man,
want.
I'm going to break out. I got to get this line.
You take your line because the show's over, bro.
I got straps. A million motherfuckers on the planet Earth talk that hard bullshit, cause that's all they worth. I've been there, done that. You got guns? Yo, I got straps. A million motherfuckers on the planet.